What's up, everybody? It's LG Doucette here. Today is Wednesday, August 11th, 2021. Welcome to the First Mint, a podcast where I talk about marketplace trends, big sales, and everything going on in NBA Top Shot. Today, we have a very special treat for you. It is the first ever return appearance of somebody on the audio podcast. We have Steve Veerman on, one of the Top Shot OGs, also one of the nicest, brightest guys I have spoken to. He's here on the pod. We recorded yesterday. We had initially planned to record a little quick 15 minutes about, hey, here's what's going on in the market. Here's why it's went up. You know, here's what to expect. Here's what the whales are buying. But it turned into an hour-long conversation largely focused on the collector score and the changes to collector score with this new tier, with this new series of summer 2021, and what that means for series two common moments. Have yourself a nice listen. I want to remind everybody here that nothing on the show constitutes trading advice in any way, and that this show is not affiliated with NBA Top Shot, the NBA, or Tapper Labs. I'm just a guy at his house who loves basketball and blockchain. This is the First Mint. Ladies and gentlemen of the First Mint, it's been a few weeks since we've done an interview. And this one is quite fresh and recent. We've got Steve Veerman on, probably the first second-time guest, double guest on the podcast, and a Top Shot OG. Steve, what's going on, man?
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me on. I didn't realize I was the first second guest.
I think so. I think you're the first. Well, I mean, like Phil, my brother, is on, like, on the live show all the time.
He's a staple. So really, I mean, like, he's the he's a co-host almost at this point.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. I don't think we've had anybody back on, because the first two interviews I did were with Andy and then with you, I think. And Andy, we haven't had back on.
You should. He's up to some pretty exciting things too.
I know. I've told him. I was like, let's talk about Fractional, but we'll save that. Save that for another day. We'll just give you the title. The first repeat guest is you. It's been a while. That's like literally 6 months ago that we had you on.
It seems like 6 years, but yeah.
And we were talking then. We talked about, that was a cool episode because we talked about the importance of the Holo set.
I remember.
As the new one.
I listened to it somewhat recently. I think it aged well, all things considered.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I'm assuming, just to recap on that, I'm assuming you're still an enthusiast of the Holo set.
Very much, yeah. I mean, it's the flagship of the platform. Yeah, it's a legendary set. You know, it's meant to feel legendary. Yeah, still super bullish on that set.
We're here today to talk about the recent market activity in Top Shot. And just to kind of set the table, like if you look at any of the great analytics sites that there are in Top Shot, Evaluate, Moment Ranks, Own the Moment, any of those, you'll notice a very similar line of the last 6 months or last 8 months where we have, you know, a massive surge through the winter and then a slow kind of, you know, downward trend, let's call it, with then a little bit of a crater, which then in the last week has popped right back up to maybe where we're at 2 months ago, 3 months ago, maybe even in some cases. Steve, like right off the bat, like why is this happening? What's going up and what's going on?
Yeah, great question. There's a lot to unpack there, but I'll just say it's always darkest before the dawn. It's been a little quiet. Kind of like I feel like there's been some, I guess, underlying excitement with a lot of different things happening in the summer, right? Whether it was, well, honestly, I didn't even think about Summer League to begin with, but the draft was a big one. You know, trade tickets that are coming up is a big one. The idea of closing series two and what happens after that, that was something that was kind of exciting as well. But I think more than anything, because of what's happened over the last few months, we've seen quite a few people leave the platform that weren't maybe sold on it to begin with, who might have been here for reasons that maybe weren't out of NBA fandom. They were here for some other reason. And I think what has happened, it's actually been a positive outcome, is the platform has kind of shaken those people out, right? So they've decided it's not for them and they wanted to kind of move on to other projects in the space. And that's great. So what you're left with basically after a certain amount of time is more core collectors or more core fans, right? People who are actually engaging with the platform on a consistent basis. And that's kind of what you have now. And I think for the last few weeks, what we've been seeing is consistent, I'll just say consistent buying. You know, if you check a website like CryptoSlam. I still visit CryptoSlam. You know, it's still consistent. Like, I want to say between, you know, 5,000 and 10,000 buyers or sellers, right? And that's been the same for the last few weeks. And I really feel like as though a lot of the whales have kind of been sitting on the sidelines, just waiting. I know it's really hard to time anything, but they've just been waiting to redeploy a lot of their Dapper. Like, for me, I can't hold Dapper. I made a mistake in February because whenever I sell anything, I basically want to buy something else. That's the only reason why I sell anything to begin with, is because I want to buy other things. So I'm always sitting at, like,
I feel you, man. Yeah, I feel you the same way.
Yeah, I'm basically sitting at a $0 Dapper balance at any given point. Like, right now, I think I have $9 in my account. I'm not even joking with you. Probably $9.60 or something, right? So basically, a lot of other whales, they're maybe a little bit smarter, and that they were maybe a little more strategic with their Dapper reserve. So they've kind of been sitting on the sidelines waiting for, like, the perfect opportunity to jump back in when they kind of saw maybe a little bit of, like, a positive inflection. And I think that happened a few days ago when all of a sudden, I can't remember what the catalyst was, but needless to say, there was, like, a few significant buys in the market. And then you kind of saw, I would say, like, whale FOMO, where, like, other whales saw other whales buying. And the thought that crosses my mind when that happens is, are they going to buy the moment that I had my eye on, right? Because every whale has their eye on one or many moments at any given point, right? So I think what happens is they're FOMOing into buying the thing they had their eye on. And so everyone just started deploying these crazy amounts of money in, like, a very short window because they felt like it was their speak now or forever hold your peace moment, right? Like, you better buy it before it's too late, because this might be the last opportunity to own, like, a Series 1 legendary, right? So I think that was kind of what was happening. And yeah, it's kind of leveling off right now. But I believe that that's what happened a few days ago.
Yeah, it definitely feels, I agree with you, where even just look at the market, it feels like the people who might be buying now are not going to be buying to do a quick flip. They're going to be buying to hold that for a while, and they're trying to time the bottom, essentially. That's kind of the vibe I've gotten from seeing who some of the high-end buyers are. We put out a list the other day, I think on Saturday night, from the First Mint account of here's all the purchases above 10 grand, right? From the, in the last week, or in August. And then you compare that, and there's already been, you know, there's already like three times more in August than there had been in all of July. And just as many as there had been in June. So, you know, it's like some of those moments you're seeing, it's like, well, they might never come back down below that number.
Right? Exactly. And actually, one thing just crossed my mind as a catalyst was the new and improved Topshop bot, the Believers bot, right, on Twitter.
Yeah,
and
I saw that.
It's very clear that a lot of people use Twitter as, like, their main source for, like, NFT news, right? So as soon as you start to see these massive buys in front of you, they're basically almost like constant reminders that people are buying high-end moments in the marketplace. And so it's just this feedback loop almost, right? Of, you know, you see a big buy, then you see another big buy, and then you start thinking, should I deploy my capital? Then you do, and then someone else sees that. So it's almost, yeah, it's like a flywheel or a feedback loop. So I think that's what we're seeing with these bots. And yeah, it's pretty crazy because I know a lot of other NFT projects have these bots, and I think they're very helpful in these cases to, like, to emphasize or to kind of give a little market confidence, because at any given point it's really hard to see what is actually going on in the market. And so when you see these big moment buys, I think it's reassuring to a lot of people.
Absolutely. And there's also, you know, despite the other NFT markets, it's like there are a few other NFT markets that have daily, you know, 6,000 to 10,000 buyers. Right. Like, that is rare. There's not many out there that have that volume or even have that many unique owners of the NFT, right? That's, you know, Topshop's just on a different level in terms of it being a market. Steve, I want to ask you, like, we're talking about whales and that's great. Happy for them. But how does that kind of trickle down to the average collector, right? Like, somebody who maybe has a couple hundred bucks in their Dapper balance, they can't, you know, let's say most like Series 1 holos and stuff like that are probably a little out of reach for them. Maybe looking more at snagging a good metallic Series 2 or other rares from Series 2, or even just a nice, you know, base moment, like a Topshop debut or a nice base Series 2. with this kind of signal right now, and we've seen like a rise in the market of maybe, you know, arguably like 10 to 20% on the market cap, what should be going through the mind of the, you know, let's call it the average collector?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I bring up whales, but it's because we've been called that, we've been labeled that, but really it's basically the group of collectors I've been collecting with since last August. We're all part of the same cohort and we're all friends and we've been collecting together, right? And other people decided to call us whales. But the reality is I started collecting $1 or $2 moments when I joined. And I was doing that for the longest time. And that's why I have so many moments right now, is because I kept hoarding them when they were so cheap. And basically, I think more than anything, market confidence is like the most important factor right now, right? So if you, I think a big reason why the market has kind of been trending downwards over the last few months is people don't really know if it's going to go any lower, right? Like even if you're a huge believer in Top Shot, and let's say you had a $100 budget, it's like, well, you could have bought one moment in February, but you know, maybe you could have bought 50 moments today if you just held out, right? So I think people more than anything want to feel confident that when they deploy capital, it's wise, and that, okay, well, if I buy 50 moments today, you know, like those 50 moments will still be worth at least $100 tomorrow or whatever, right? So I think that's kind of what we're seeing right now, is the market is becoming more stable, right? It's less, you're seeing fewer spikes, a little downward at least. And that's a really great thing, because now you have buyers at every level saying, you know, they're thinking like, wow, you know, is this the bottom? Like how much lower can we go, right? You were seeing $2 moments in the market, right? Obviously you can go to a dollar, but then you have to think as well, like trade tickets are coming. And with trade tickets, you'll be able to trade in like the most unwanted moments and redeem them for potentially a pack of the most coveted moments on this entire platform. So even at the lowest level, like it's hard to imagine things going lower at this point. So I think market confidence is at an all-time, I won't say all-time high, but in the last three, four months, I feel confident about the market right now. Like how much lower can it go? Like I feel pretty confident that we're in a good spot. I mean, obviously if it went lower, those words will come back to haunt me. But personally, I feel like it's in a good spot right now. It's in a reasonable spot. It's accessible for, you know, the average collector.
Absolutely. Well, I'd say, I don't even know if confidence is the right word, but to me, it feels most stable. In the way that, you know, even the surge in the winter, it's like, well, we know that there were like some bots and people had like multiple accounts and there's all that. It was really messy and people weren't verified either, right? We know that now that it's a lot harder to kind of game the market that way. So when I see a huge kind of surge in the market, I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, this is being done under more like natural market conditions, let's call it.
Absolutely.
Right. Versus before, it was just like, it was just a Wild West, man. Like it was just pure chaos before.
100%.
Whereas it's like, I still welcome a bit of chaos, but I'm like, no, this to me, it's like, this is mainly real people buying because they want to. Right. And not necessarily just bots trying to flip stuff around or raise floors artificially.
Absolutely. I mean, I know over the last few months, collector score at some points has gotten heat because, well, you know, like I should be able to buy any pack whenever I want. Like I'm a brand new user. I just signed up. Why can't I buy a legendary pack? Right. Well, the reality is because it was too easy for bots or multi-accounters to just spam the system. Right. And now what Dapper has done, it's absolutely brilliant. They have made it difficult to do that. It's difficult to game the system. You basically have to put your money where your mouth is in order to game the system, right? And you can't. Like basically you can spend a ton of money to try to do it, but even then it's not a guarantee, right? Because you end up in like a queue system, and like even in myself, I haven't got a legendary pack at all this season. Not one.
Yeah.
No.
I just want to say the last three queues for the last for the finals pack was painful for me as well. I was qualified for all three and it hurt. It hurt. It hurt to lose three times. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, it does hurt, but honestly, I feel really good
hurts.
About it. Fairness hurts. Yeah.
Fairness hurts. Yeah, let's put it that way.
It hurt a lot more in February when like the first holo drop came and that was like, "Okay, wait a minute. Maybe this was botted or maybe this was, you know, whatever." That hurt more. But now like hurting in a fair way. Honestly, I couldn't be happier about it because I know at the other end of it, whoever got the pack, they had the collector score. They actually want the moments. So I feel good that at least it's in good hands, as opposed to worst case scenario, it's in the hands of someone who doesn't care about the platform. They're just trying to exploit the existing user base, right? That's the worst case. So I feel more confident that's not happening.
Absolutely. Yeah. So here's a question through you. And this is kind of like a theory I threw out on the podcast maybe about a month ago, is that typically the opposite of what we all think is going to happen happens on Top Shot in terms of the market emotion. And I'll give you an example where, you know, at the end of March, we'd been talking about these badges forever. And then they dropped. And then so did the cost of all the moments with the badges, like the next day. And it was like, oh, you know, we all thought that we were all holding, thinking the market was surge. But then obviously everybody did that. And then everybody tried to get out. And now I feel like for a few months, people were saying, hey, just wait until the off season. That's when it's really going to tank. Right. And now, you know, 2 weeks after the finals end, we see kind of the opposite starting to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I think
this is a theory.
No. What you're describing is basically buy the rumor, sell the news. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a well-known thing. So I think there's a little bit of like, I'll say confirmation bias there too, where you notice it when it's happening, but I think, eventually you'll guess right. People will guess right. So, I think, yeah, in recent times it's kind of been the opposite, but it's hard to say what'll happen in the future. Right. But I think, yeah, what you've said is genuinely true for the last few months. It's done the opposite of what we all thought it would do.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah. So, okay. Thanks for confirming my bias. And what are you personally kind of looking at these days? You don't have to share too much.
No.
And again, everybody knows this isn't trading advice, everything on the show.
Yeah, exactly. This is just my own personal, what I'm trying to do, but it's difficult for me because I talk to other users and, for me, I probably have like more attachment to my moments than most do. So I have a difficult time trying to find things I want to list half the time. And then when I do, I'm pretty picky about like what I want to sell it for. And I don't want to race to the bottom for these things. So needless to say, it's not always super fast for me to raise money or Dapper. Like I can do it, but some users can do it faster than me because they're just a little more, I don't know, like, I don't want to break any sets up. I don't want to sell certain serial numbers, you know? So I'm a little bit more hesitant, but when I do sell things, what am I buying right now? I mean, I'm buying a bunch of different things in series two. I just bought a bunch of, series two MGLEs because I thought I didn't really have any, to be honest. I wasn't collecting them because I wasn't able to get any packs during the year. So I kind of avoided it, but then the price seemed right. And I didn't have a bunch of them. So I said, yeah, I want to start collecting this set. And so I've been collecting some of that. And then some series two bases. I think it's really hard to go wrong with some like superstars that are maybe minted to 40K. There might be, you know, $3, $4, $5. It's like, is this really a bad bet? Right? Because what I'm thinking is that, well, when they announce the trade ticket system, right, the floor will automatically move up. So if it's at $2 across the board for the lowest moment, it'll move to $3 or $4, like immediately. So you might as well just buy the $4 superstar right now, right? Like it only makes sense because at that level, like, you know, and then that'll probably just naturally move up, right? That's kind of what I'm thinking. What are some other things here? I think some series two rookies, it's hard to go wrong there. One thing that I think it's worth noting that I haven't seen anyone mention is they just revised the collector score for Series 2 Summer, right? And I'm not sure if you took note of the points they gave to fandom and then the points they gave to the base. So this was one of the most telling things that I've seen in a long time. And no one's mentioned it yet, but how much they devalued the commons in Series 2 Summer. Why this is important is I think they were always meant to be a very low collector score, but because of what happened in Series 2 where the market was really kind of crazy and it burned some people, I think what I'm seeing now is Dapper probably tried to reward those people by giving higher collector score to Series 2 bases, right? I think that was kind of a one-off, in my opinion. I think going forward, like just a guess, I think going forward, what they outlined for Series 2 Summer Commons, that's going to be the new normal. In my opinion, I could be wrong, but I think every common going forward could be worth two points, right? And then the new fandom tier is more in line with the old common from Series 2, right? I think it was like 15 or something, right? So I haven't seen anyone talk about that yet. But so just going from that alone, then it would seem like Series 2 bases are a bargain at this point in terms of collector score.
Holy
right?
shit, man. You're right. I'm just looking at it because I looked at this the other day because I knew they had updated it. So I was just, and then I looked at it. And the first thing I saw, I was like, okay, clearly they plan to release rares and legendaries and a bunch of stuff during this summer thing, right? And summer series, let's call it. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess that confirms that we're going to see some kind of run it back or some kind of really fancy set of some kind come out now or sometime in the next few weeks or months. But I didn't realize, you're right, the common base set for summer 2021, the moments are worth 2 points on the collector score.
Yeah.
So dude, that to me is going to be $1. That's going to be the $1 moment right there that comes back when those come out,
yes,
whatever they're going to be.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So that makes Series 2 bases like actually across the board, I think, very valuable from a collector score standpoint. If you look at collector score now, actually, even the way to maximize it is still with Series 2 bases. Like one of my arguments for collector score when it was released, which I didn't really make like public, but like my biggest grievance with it was that they gave too much points. Like the weight was too much for bases in Series 2. That was my biggest complaint. And I think now with the release of the summer, Series 2 Summer, we're seeing that the 2 points was the original vision, right? So even now, if you wanted to get 80 points, for instance, you can buy a rare from the market. I think the lowest price rare is like, let's say $35, right? That'll get you 80 points, roughly. However, the cheapest base on Top Shot goes somewhere between $2 and $3. Let's just use $3. If each base is worth 10 points, you only need 8 of them. So 3 times 8, $24 to get the same amount of collector score as a rare. Like, how does that make sense? There's no incentive to buy the rare at that point, right? Because it's still heavily in favor of the base. So I think what I'm getting at is Dapper, again, I'm just speculating and whatever, but I think they have done this in a way that could potentially reward anyone who collected Series 2 bases along the way, because I think those ones will become, they'll hold their value well, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I had, you know, when they first released collector score, I was looking at it as, you know, what can you collect that's worth more than $1 per point, right? So if you're looking right now, this is just turning into collector score analysis, by the way, which is great. Don't get me wrong. But basically, like, if you're looking at, like, you brought up Series 2 rare, you're right. The cheapest ones right now are throwdowns going for like $37, $38. So you're getting like 50 cents on the point, basically. Right. If you're buying those, and if you look at the commons and you're picking one up that's going for $3 or $2, then you're getting like literally less than 20 cents on the point. So that's worth a lot. You're right. So if you look at it breaking down like per dollar spent, how many points you get, common base set is absolutely the best value, which kind of to your point, then what you're predicting, let's say, is that over time, as let's say summer 2021 and then Series 3 and everything else comes out with a base set and they're only worth 2 points, then technically I guess the cost of the base set from Series 2 would go up or would just at least hold its value. Very interesting, man. Very, very interesting. Definitely makes me think twice about selling some, DeMontis Sabonis moments for like $3 or whatever.
Absolutely. I mean, I would just save them at this point. I was doing the same thing at the end of Series 1, by the way. I was selling one of my regrets. I don't have that many regrets, to be honest, but I was selling a bunch of my Series 1 commons towards the end of Series 1 for $1.
Oh yeah. Same here.
Yeah. Because there were just like the bench players. I'm like, no one's going to want to pay. No one's going to want these things. Right.
Oh God.
Like, it's fine. I'm sure those ones are probably worth like $35 now. It's not a big deal. Sure, I missed out on like whatever. Like, it sucks, but it's not the end of the world. I'll live. But I think more than anything, again, I'll just go back, collect things that you like and you love. I mean, for me, when I'm saying, like, you know, when I'm talking about collector score and everything else, like, this is under, like, I've already collected my sets, right? I'm already a set completion. I've already done that. So I'm just kind of stacking things I think will hold their value or maybe might increase in value a little bit because I might be able to use those as, you know, to, again, to trade for future moments and at some point in the future. One other thing I'll mention too is I did kind of ape into the finals legendary challenge. I did midway through. So I know the Giannis was, I don't know, maybe $3,500 when it first came out. And then it kind of shot up to 6,000. And I was like, okay, too rich for me. I'm out. And then I ended up selling a squiggle.
A squiggle. Oh, NFT. You had a squiggle.
Yeah. Well, is a crazy story. So back in January, I helped Snowfro out, I think with my old site, Intangible Market. And he thanked me by giving me 3 Chromie squiggles. And he's like, maybe these will be worth something someday, right? And they're just squiggles. And so I'm like, okay, like, sure, it's kind of funny. So I had them. And then when the price spiked to like 1 ETH for each of them, I'm like, okay, I got to sell one. Like, it's 1 ETH. That's like, it's like $2,000. Like, how can I say no? It's a random squiggle. Like, you know, I'd be insane not
what
to sell
even
this.
Happening?
Yeah. And then so I sold it. And then immediately, like, the price goes to like 4 ETH. So then I sell another one at 4 ETH. And now it's like, I don't know, like 6 or 7 ETH. And I've got one left that I'm never selling. So I regret selling the other two. But long story short, I had money from the squiggle. So I put that in and I decided I'm going to buy the whole challenge thing. So I put another, whatever, $10,000 worth of ETH back into the Topshop machine. And you know what? No regrets, because as soon as I did that, like almost within a half hour, I think some other user bought 3 Giannises. And he took the floor from 6,000 to like 8,000. I think now it's somewhere like 10. So if I didn't do that at that time, I don't think I ever would have had it. And why I'm mentioning this is, I've been collecting on the platform for a year. This is my first ever complete legendary set.
And hey, nice.
Yeah, I know. Man, I am so thrilled. And that's why I did it. That's why I spent this money, is because I said to myself, like, I'm going to regret not getting my first legendary set. It's so difficult to get a legendary set, and it doesn't happen that often, and I just, you know, the stars aligned. So,
man, good story about the squiggle. Didn't expect that. Didn't know that. Didn't expect that part. So that's really cool. I've just been looking through the marketplace and as we're talking. So Series 1 base moments at their lowest are $26. So that's still a little bit above $1 per point. Right. So those are not a bargain for collector score, and I'm just looking at stuff that I've recently sold. I recently offloaded most of my playoff set from this year. Most of those are going for $5, but the collector score you get from that is 20 points. So those are 25 cents per point. So those are pretty sweet when you think about it from that perspective.
Absolutely.
Like you're saying, right. Because then summer 2021 common non-base is also only 2 points. So if that goes into series 3 and then we have like another common set of playoffs next year and they're only worth 2 for collector score each, then that is a stark difference. And series 2 ones would be worth a lot more. Shit, man. It was quite the revelation.
Yeah. So I got to read some Dapper good before you put this out, because
no, they're going to know. They'll be like,
it's all good.
They're conspiring to, manipulate the market.
Honestly, I'm an open book. Like, I'm happy that they give the knowledge. Like, it's fun.
I love it, man. I love it. Real quick. This is okay. So I have a bit of a gripe with this, and I want to know what you think. This summer 2021, which is now a series called Summer 2021, is not technically series 3. It's like an in between, and that whatever happens, that kind of annoys me, because I'm a big fan of like purpose and continuity. So then just to have like, hey, it's series 1, series 2, get ready for series 3, and then it's like, oh, here's like a random like 2-month series that's going to exist in the middle is like kind of annoying to me. It's like, all right, then are we going to have like a, you know, winter 2022 one that's in the middle there somewhere? Like, it's just, it's continuity wise, it kind of annoys me. What do you think about that?
That was my first thought as well. I was very curious to see how they would do it when they said that series 2 was wrapping up. I wasn't sure if that was kind of like it's wrapping up, but not really. I thought they might just add on to the bottom of it. But I wasn't sure how this would play out. And now I think I saw a post by Alexo and it made perfect sense. So there was no Series 1, right? Like on the blockchain, Series 1 is referred to as Series, or it's zero. It's an integer,
zero.
Right?
Explorer. And
well, I think it's also important to point out that the integer that's stored on the blockchain is different than the title of the series itself, right? So Series 1 is stored as a zero on the blockchain, and then they saw an opportunity to label Series 2 as integer 2. So they skipped 1. So on the blockchain, the series is zero, then it goes to 2. So with the summer, now the summer series is 3 on the blockchain, which means that it's likely Series 3 will be 4. So Alexo's post was very insightful because it basically just highlighted that going forward, it's likely that every series that's like an actual, you know, the actual series is going to be an even number, while the summer series is going to be an odd number. And let's just hope that it's only going to be like the regular season and the summer or off season. I don't think there's going to be some other in-between series, but yeah, you never really know. So I think that's kind of the answer, is the even numbers on the blockchain are going to be like the actual, you know, series.
I get it. I just think it's like, well, then they didn't need to close Series 2. I think you could have just kept it as Series 2. It's just, I just find it's just like, if you're going to have a series that isn't just numbered, like, and I'm just looking in the marketplace now, like in terms of the filter. So if you have a series that's not numbered, then it kind of takes away from having sets in a way to me, that it's just like, well, why, you know, the series, to me, the series were always going to be like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But then now it's like, okay, 1, 2, summer 2021, 3, 4, summer 2022, like, or something like that, right?
Yeah,
like
I agree with you. That's what, you actually, know, my first thought was they weren't going to do it like this, right?
Yeah,
my first
yeah.
thought was leaning to exactly what you're saying. They're just going to append to the end of Series 2. I don't know. I don't know why they made that decision, but they did.
Yeah, yeah, that's all right. I'd love to hear more.
Actually, you know what? I think maybe the reason why they did it, I think, was maybe to not screw around with like the collector score element of it, right? Where they're trying to keep the players and the teams separating the team element from the collector score and not making it more complicated. Because even with fandom now, like if you accidentally miss like a moment or something, I don't think they want to introduce more blockers to this. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because even what we're, like the whole revelation you gave me about the collector score difference, you know, is a big one there for sure. Hey, here's another thing. I'm still staring at this collector score stuff, by the way, just so you know. So, okay, here's another difference I just noticed as well in the new collector score stuff for summer 2021, which let's just assume I'm talking about this as this will be the standard going forward for all series after this. Series 2, a common moment, 12 points. A common base set reward, 18 points, right? So times and a half for that. And same thing for promo moments, like the gift, rare moments, it goes 80 points for a moment and then 120 for the reward, right? So we have times and a half. Summer 2021, it goes from a base moment is 2, but a base reward is 10. So the base and the non-base have a 5x jump from the actual moment to the reward. So that could be like, that to me signals that they're trying to incentivize doing the rewards and holding them, doing the challenges for base and non-base sets. That's what that kind of, you know,
absolutely. That's always been a thing. They've always given a good weight to the rewards.
But more so now is what I'm saying, right? Because non-challenge reward or non-base rewards, even from like, let's say the playoff set this year, having the reward gives you 30 points and the base moments were 20 anyways. But now if you did the same thing in summer 2021, non-base is 2, but the reward is 10. That's cool. I like that. I like that it's changing, that the weighted side is changing in terms of the ratio.
It's very interesting because on that note, like the new fandom rewards, like it's 15 mm-hmm. if you have the reward collector score. Mm-hmm. But then the old Series 2 promo commons is also 15. So
yeah,
that kind of gives you some insight as to, you know, Dapper thinks those are kind of equal, right?
Right. Yeah.
So the promo rewards, that would be like Hustle and Show. No, sorry. That would be like the gift, right?
The gift.
Yeah, the gift reward. So the D Rose reward is equal to like a fandom reward, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever that looks like. I don't know what that looks like yet.
Exactly. Yeah. See, before we wrap up, this has been way better and awesome, more awesome of a conversation than I thought we were going to have. So this has been great. Thank you.
Thanks,
I told
LG.
You
thanks.
Now we've been talking for like 40 minutes. No, I didn't mean like that.
No,
like
I know.
I didn't think you were going to bring up this like collector score bombshell, man. Like, I thought we're just going to talk about like, hey, Steve, what are you buying? Oh, Kawhi, cool. Okay. You got to go to New York for the draft. Tell me about it.
Yeah, that was an incredible experience. So a little backstory, like I've been talking with Library forever on Top Shot. And, you know, we've even tried to do like a little like, you know, piece of content for Top Shot. And I've just been lagging on releasing more episodes. It's just, it's so, it takes so much time. And this is like what you do is like, it makes me, I don't get me wrong, I always had like this crazy amount of respect for what you do. But then trying to make my own content is like, holy shit, how the hell do you do it, LG? like I'll be honest with you, because it's so difficult to consistently, like you're doing it consistently, but even put out a quality piece of content, never mind doing it like often as you do. So yeah, we've been lagging. So but anyways.
Thanks, man. I have to give credit to the First Mint team, you know, for helping with a lot of that, with Quad and Zach and our editor, Jesse and Ashley, who's running everything behind the scenes. Got to give them a lot of credit for both the fest and you know, the quality of the content and the consistency of the content as well. So it's not just me.
And Phil
comes on the show to fuck shit up. That's also
awesome. Yeah, obviously. He's always a good, you know, always good commentary. I didn't realize he's your older brother too, by the way. That's pretty awesome. I'm loving it.
You didn't know we were brothers?
No. I knew you were brothers. I didn't know he was your older brother.
You thought we were twins?
No, I thought you might have been the older one. I don't know.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
I don't know. I figured because you got your show, I figured like you were recruiting him, right? I don't know. It wasn't an appearance thing. It was just like you got your shit in order. That's all, right? Like he's got his shit in order too. I'm just saying you have like it was just so your show was so. I feel like I'm digging myself in the hole here, but
you are.
yeah. No,
Phil's
anyways,
young. Phil looks young and immature.
Like, something
you're
like
old
that.
Old and wise. Yeah,
there you go. Cool. There you go. Right.
Sorry. Anyway, okay. So you went to New York Library.
Yeah. Library and I, we, you know, when we were kind of when the finals experience happened, we were like, oh, like because we're both in the Toronto area, and it was like, oh, if you won, like, would you take me? And like, yeah, for sure. And then, like, I the same for him. So we had this like almost like this pact of like, oh, if one of us won, we would take each other. And then, When Jacob did the announcement for the draft experience, he was on the reserve list, right? He was second on the reserve list. So that means we needed two people to basically drop out. And this was on like a Sunday afternoon. And I guess everyone had a very short window to respond because, I mean, they kind of needed everyone in New York Tuesday night. So like this window was super short and they had to like, you know, book flights and everything too. So time was a factor. Long story short, two people weren't able to come. So they called Library, I think, late Sunday and said, you know, are you interested? And he's like, yep. And he called me and I said, yeah, I'm in. Then, you know, we had to go through the hassle because we're in Canada of getting our negative COVID tests and everything in a day, which was super stressful. But needless to say, we made it to New York and it was incredible. Where to begin? We kind of kicked off this whole thing because Dapper is the first time doing a New York event. We met up with everyone at like 30 Rock to kind of take in the city real quick. And then after that, we killed a little time and then we had dinner with four of the draft prospects, right? So we had dinner with Davion Mitchell, Zaire Williams, Kean Johnson, and Cam Thomas. And that was amazing. Like, apparently they were only supposed to be there for about an hour. They all kind of stayed a lot longer because they were enjoying the conversation. And yeah, that was amazing. We kind of had like these, I guess maybe five tables set up and there was an empty, like basically a chair that they would all kind of they take turns basically. So 15 minutes at every table, kind of like speed dating, but for draft prospects, right? So
that's the way to distribute it though. That's nice. And they're probably used to it at that point too, right? Because they've gone, I don't know if there was a combine this year, but I don't know. Do they do an NBA combine? I think I'm just thinking NFL.
I don't know if they did, but no.
Did they work out for different teams this year or was that kind of off the table because of COVID? They must have worked out.
I thought they did.
I'm sure they worked out. Yeah. Sure, I'm sure they worked out for different teams. Anyways, go on. Similar, but yeah, I love that. I love that little musical chairs.
Yeah. So we asked them, like, have you heard of Top Shot? And most of them haven't. But then when we showed them, like, obviously their eyes lit up. I think it was Zaire. I can't remember exactly, but it might have been Zaire. He was like, yeah, Ty told me about it, Tyrese Halliburton. So he was already pretty excited, although he didn't have an account yet. So while we were at the dinner, we signed him up. And we had one of the Dapper people, like, we basically twisted their arm to, like, send them a pack. So we opened a pack together at the table. I think they had the they released a video of it on their official Twitter, but that was pretty amazing. So needless to say, all these players, like, were pretty awesome. It was great talking with them. So that was just an amazing experience. And then, so that was the Wednesday. And then Thursday, we played basketball with Obi Toppin. And, you know, that was incredible. He is good. He is really good. going into the event, I didn't know what to expect. I thought maybe it would be, I know Jacob mentioned we're playing horse, so I figured it would be an event where maybe it wouldn't touch the ball a whole lot. Once we got to the facility, Jacob's like, no, we're scrapping that. We're doing knockout or bump, which was a great decision, because basically everyone there, I would say about 20 people or so, all had a great time. We played until we were all, like, completely exhausted. We had to tap out, basically. So, by the end of it, we were just beat up. And, yeah, I played a little one-on-one with OB. I didn't score on him, but I had a pretty good fake out. And I'm happy with my performance. So, yeah, that was a ton of fun. That might have been, like, the highlight for me, to be honest, for a few reasons. I've always wanted to play against, like, an NBA player. And, you know, the whole COVID thing, I haven't really touched a basketball in a long time. So it felt good to be on a court. And then afterwards, on the Thursday, we went to the draft. And, like, that was incredible. We had, like, the, you know, VIP suite and, dinner and drinks. And it was so awesome to be in a group of people who are like-minded, right? And like, you go there as strangers, but you already have so much to talk about. So it's not like you're strangers. It's like you're friends, because you have fought many of the same battles, right? When you're talking about, you know, certain announcements and sets and whatever, everyone knows what you're talking about. And I think more than anything, that experience has made me, I mean, I've been crazy bullish on Top Shot from the beginning. Like, it's no secret, but that experience has just opened my eyes even more to, when we start doing more in-person meetups, like, it's only going to benefit the platform, right? It's only going to encourage more camaraderie between fans in the same city or whatever, right? If you're able to attend events together, go to games together, it's a new dynamic that I don't think we have really seen this before. The best comparison, I think, that I kind of want to see it maybe kind of move to is European soccer a little bit, like, not like all the crazy rioting and stuff, but like the like, just going to games and feeling energy in, like, the same section, right? That's what'll come with Top Shot. Where you'll be sitting in a Top Shot section. It doesn't have to be like an official Top Shot section. It can be like an unofficial one where fans kind of group together, but they all have, like, crazy energy. And I think that is going to be, like, huge going forward.
I love that. That's very well said, man. And I think that's what we're all excited about. And there is, I guess, this Top Shot section in Vegas right now too. So it's kind of halfway there, right? In terms of kind of the experience you're describing.
That is so amazing. And then, I don't know if you saw it, like, the first moment ever released for the summer set, it has the Top Shot section in it.
Yeah, of course it has to. Yeah, of course.
That is so amazing.
It has to have it. Yeah, it has to have it.
I know, but that's that in there. That's incredible, because, like, on my bucket list is, I want to be in a Top Shot moment. It's like, well
you'll get your chance.
I know. I hope so.
Last question for you. We would do Would You Rather, but I think maybe we did it last time. Anyways, so I'm not going to ask you, but are you, with all that being said, are you stacking Raptors moments to have this massive Raptors collector score?
Short answer is yes. I'm. That's always in the back of my mind. Is how can I want to make sure I'm, like, number one Raptor collector, right? And if someone, I know people have come for it, and I'm not even sure if I am number one. I think I am, like, on collector score, but I'm looking forward actually to seeing more leaderboards and more gamification in Top Shot, because I would love to just, you know, maybe battle with other people on, like, a, on a daily or weekly basis, like, oh, who bought the most or who's got the highest collector score this week or the biggest change or whatever, right? Because you can kind of shit talk with people. Be like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I picked up like an extra 100 collector score this week on Raptors. Like, you know, yours went down or whatever. Like, I don't know. It's just an extra layer of fandom. So we'll see.
Absolutely. Hey, I just want to point out one more thing to you. I've just been thinking about this collector score thing since the other day. Do you think... Since just looking at the 2021 collector scores, common base set, 2 points, common non-base, 2 points. Do you think that indicates that we might be at a point where there's packs released in summer 2021, base set, non-base, where we can buy multiple packs?
That's a great question. I hope so.
Obviously, it's got to balance out with demand, obviously. But I mean, from a standpoint that it's like, you know, I think we've kind of been thinking to be able to ever get back to the point where we can buy multiple packs, we would need... such a massive supply of some kind, right?
Agreed. I mean, like the commons were supposed to always feel common. They're supposed to kind of, I don't want to say throwaway moments, but like they're supposed to be the lowest thing. And because of, you know, they've had difficulty minting them, and that's made every existing common from like series one and series two, like basically a rare at this point, right? Or moving in that direction. So I'm of the opinion Dapper wants to basically be in a place where if someone buys a common pack, they can just mint another one. Like it's minting on demand. There's no, you know, I think that's what they want to get to. They'll keep selling it if you want to buy it, right? But they're, I think for series three, maybe they're going to lay out the case. I'm hoping they will, at least, that don't expect these commons to be valuable or super valuable. I think they're supposed to be accessible, right? If you want to hold value, you know, look at fandom, look at rare, look at legendary. I think that's what they're trying to say.
That's a good way to put it. Steve, you're a legend, man. Thanks for spending so much time on the pod.
You're very welcome. That. Thanks for having me. Really, really appreciate the show and everything you do. Keep it up.
And that is going to do it for us today, folks. Tomorrow night, we're back to our regular programming with our live show on Twitch, on the First Mint Twitch. It's going to be a real special one. We have some guests from around the community as usual joining us, as well as the real Phil D and our whole squad from the community in the chat. So check it out next time tomorrow on the First Mint.